Hi, and
Love
welcome.
Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Adoption Focus. My name is Connie Going, and I'm a consultant with Adoption Associates in Michigan. And I want to tell you a little bit about this amazing adoption agency. They were founded in 1990, and since that time, they have had over 5,000 adoptive placements. They specialize in domestic adoption and international adoption. They are truly a leader in adoption. They are a Christian agency, and they have offices in Jenison, Lansing, Farmington Hills, and northeastern Michigan. Their phone number is 1-800-677-2367, and their website is www.adoptionassociates.net. Now, today we are scheduled to talk with Sue. Sue is a birth mother who placed her child well over 20 years ago. And she is an amazing individual who is open to sharing her story. And we are honored to be able to talk to her about her experiences, to learn from her experiences. And right now I am just waiting for her to call in. So I'm just going to text her very quickly and see if there's any technical difficulties. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in, whether you're tuning in live or you have this episode after. One of the things I want to share about birth mothers and adoption associates is that they are fully supportive of making a birth parent plan, working with that birth mother. They have a support group. They really want this to be a decision that the birth mother has thought through and made. And as an adoption professional, one of the things that I have seen is the change over the years of having a very closed adoption 25 years ago, 20 years ago, even 10 years ago, to an adoption where the birth mother can make a plan, she can pick her family, she can decide on the level of openness that she's comfortable with, and she can go ahead and make her choices so that she is empowered and supported on that journey. I'm very thrilled to be working with an agency that is so strongly an advocate for birth mother openness and support. The times have changed in adoption, and what I'm hoping is that they continue to change. And as we talk to birth mothers on this radio show, that we learn their stories and where they're at and what is happening. I am just waiting to see if I can get a text. And I am not having her, she's not calling in. I am going to give it a few more minutes, and I'm actually going to open up the lines, and if anyone would like to call in, the number is 1-347-850-1100. If anyone is out there and would like to call in, the number is 1-347-850-1100. Today's topic is birth mother reflections, looking back, and we are awaiting a phone call from Sue. And I think she had her times mixed up, so hang on one tight. Hang on tight. She's probably going to call me right now. I'm going to see if we can get her in to call in. She just texted me. If anyone else would like to call in, the number is 1-347-850-1100. And we would love to talk to you, to answer your questions. Any type of question you have, we would love to talk. let's talk a little bit about more some birth parent initiatives that Adoption Associates is doing, because I really want you to know how passionate they are about reaching birth mothers and giving them the opportunity. Last week, we talked to Karen Joel, who was with the Crisis A Women's Choice, and she is a pregnancy center that a lot of women come in. They have actually put in a video system in their consulting area that does tell birth mothers about all their choices, including adoption, and that's very exciting. Another thing that Adoption Associates is doing is they are allowing me to write a story with a birth mother, Katie, and her adoptive couple that she has selected for her son, and their name is Nikki and Adam, and every week we have an episode that we go ahead and present, and it's very well done. It talks a lot about, I think Sue is on the phone, but it talks a lot about what is happening with birth mothers. Sue, are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I am.
Thank you. So please don't shoot me. This is totally on me. I just looked at my texts and I did put noon. So I am so, so sorry.
That's okay. That's okay.
I'm sitting here. I'm just talking about birth mothers and Adoption Associates and telling everyone all the wonderful things they're doing. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for calling in. We are so excited to have you here. And Sue, how
are you doing? I'm glad to be here. Glad to be able to help.
Thank you so much. We were talking just about birth mother choices and plans and the changes over the years. And I was hoping that you could share some of your story with our audience.
Sure. So at the age of 16, I was a sophomore in high school. I found myself pregnant. And my story is a little bit unique because I decided not to tell anybody that I was pregnant, including my parents. And so when that time finally came, and I always knew that in my mind what I had to do. So the other choices that are available were not an option. Abortion never crossed my mind. I always kind of said while I was going through that by myself, like, I know exactly what has to happen, and that was that I would be able to give my child a loving mother and father that would care for him and give him everything that he needed. And, you know, being a 16-year-old girl, I was not capable of providing for a child at that time.
And so how did you go through your pregnancy? Like, when did you start to tell? I mean, did you tell anyone before you delivered?
No, in fact, it's funny.
Wow.
When I started thinking about the conversation that we would have today, I hesitated, but I didn't. I should have asked you if my mom could have joined us because my mom found out that I was pregnant the night we walked into the emergency room.
Oh my gosh.
I had stayed home from school because I wasn't feeling well, and my parents were supposed to go away that weekend, and my mom was like, I'm not leaving until I know what's wrong with you. And so they took me to the hospital, and that was like the longest 10-minute drive of my life. And we got there, and one of the nurses asked me, well, are you pregnant? And still sitting there with my mom, I still said no. And come to find out, I was already dilated to 5. And and he had been in a dry birth canal because my water had leaked. So So I ended up having to be induced, and then, of course, we started talking about the option, and my mom, I remember my mom specifically asking, what do you want to do? What are we going to do? And I right away knew. I said, I feel that, my option is that I'd like to give him to a loving home that I know will be able to care for him properly.
And that,
with a mother and a father.
And to be 16 and to be that, you know, in that place to just, you know, you must have known yourself fairly well, even at 16.
Yeah, and actually, a year and a half before, my parents actually have released two grandchildren for adoption. My sister has also a birth mom, and so they've had to endure that twice. Our family's been very much touched by adoption in several ways. But, yeah, so.
What an incredible journey for your family. I mean,
yeah,
who would plan that? You can't plan that.
Right. No, right. And my sister, who had released a year and a half before I did, she's actually adopted. So it's like, it was like this full circle, and I had watched her go through her release and just knew that here I was, again, 16 and not in the position to be able to care for a child, that's for sure.
And how did your mom, your mom had already had been through this with your sister. How much older than you is your sister?
My sister Robin is, oh my goodness, she is about 8 years older than I.
Okay, so your mom had been through this with her, and what would she say it was like for her to, I mean, just the shock of, I mean, you're busy at the hospital going through everything that you're going through, so it probably didn't hit her as she was doing it, as your mom helping you, but
right.
How did that just hit her?
The aftershock, once we were home and, you know, I had gone through labor and adoption associates had come and picked him up from the hospital and we were released. And then it was just kind of like, here we were left with this pile of emotions to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
Like I said, you know, my parents are not only watching me go through this and my sister had gone through it, but they're also releasing a part of them, you know, their
right.
grandchildren.
Absolutely.
And so it was definitely a huge turning point in my relationship with my stepdad, as well as, because my mom mm-hmm. was grieving just as much as I was. And so it was a transitional point in our family for sure, just because of the emotion. And I was grateful to my caseworker at the time. We had a birth mom support group that I would attend on
mm-hmm.
a weekly basis. And, you know, just to be able to share those emotions that other people just don't understand because they haven't been through it.
Right.
And to be able to talk with other girls who are in that same boat was a huge help.
Well, to know that this is, you're not alone, that you're not the only woman that's faced this decision, but that and someone that can relate to what you're going through.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk a little bit about the months leading up to when you actually delivered.
Okay.
Because I have a child. Excuse me for 1 minute. I'm actually an adoptive mother. That was my adoptive son knocking on the door. So welcome to parenthood.
Sure.
I actually am part of a. I did birth mother social work, and one of the things that I did was I worked with a birth mother who told nobody. And as a social worker, this was about 20 years ago, and she was about 19. As a social worker, it changed my life because the strength. I was the only person she told. She lived with her family. She delivered alone, except for me. And it was an amazing thing to be able to go ahead and have this happen, be part of her adoption experience.
Wow.
You know, and so
yeah.
Excuse me for 1 second. Yeah, so it really is an amazing to be part of someone's life through that journey. And when she delivered her and learned to cut the cord, and then at that time we didn't have a family for her child, mm-hmm. and we looked and looked. She was African American, so it was even more isolatory for her in her culture. And so, really, I'm always amazed at the strength. How did you like go to school? Like, about what month did you realize?
Probably about 5 or 6 months in, things started to change, and I actually had morning sickness. And it's funny because I'm sitting here in front of my stepdad right now. I'm out at their cottage. And I remember morning sickness, and I'd get sick every morning, and I was also dealing with some issues at school with being bullied, and so my parents thought it was my nerves, and that's why I was getting sick. And so I was able to kind of hide that. And then, I mean, I went as far as to faking my menstrual cycle each month.
Wow.
I was petrified. I was so scared because it wasn't, you know, that wasn't supposed to happen. You know, I was born and raised in a Christian home. I went to private school my entire life. And, you know, I got caught. It was one of those things, you know. So, but I'd say five or six months in is when I figured, I'm like, okay, this is real. And started wearing more baggy clothes.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember being in a sitting room with my mom at JCPenney's. And
wow.
Her commenting, wow, you know, you really got your dad's side of the family. And I thought, but, so yeah, you know, it was definitely my body, you know, obviously my body started changing and things
right.
started to grow. And so, yeah, but I would say definitely about month 5 or 6 was,
mm-hmm.
when I
now,
realized.
That. Now during that time, knowing that you were pregnant, you were thinking adoption.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So you were, and so in your brain, how were you as far as, in caring your child and loving your child, how were you connecting? Were you disconnecting? Were you connecting? Were you thinking, I can't connect because I'm going to place?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
There were moments of connection, like especially at night when I'd lay in bed and I would feel him move.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just different things like that. But I would say definitely more of a disconnection, just knowing that I was, you know, the decision I was going to make, and yeah, definitely. But that all changed, obviously, once he was here. It's like, oh my goodness. I mean, I realized what, and I have a 7-year-old now, and it's that instant love, you know. It's, I've never met you, and you weren't planned, but there was a love that you can't explain.
Absolutely. Now, when you were pregnant, and I'm assuming you gave birth to your 7-year-old, he's biological?
Yes, he is.
Okay.
Yes.
So when you were, carrying his pregnant, you know, your pregnancy with him, did you reflect
mm-hmm.
back? Tell,
oh,
talk
sure.
Talk a little bit
Absolutely.
About that. Mm-hmm. Talk just a little bit about that.
Yeah, it was carrying my son, Brendan, who I have now. I mean, it's... I tried everything I could to just completely enjoy being pregnant.
Right.
I enjoyed the miracle that was inside. And we had a horrible birth experience that could be a whole nother talk show with him. But, but yeah, no, I enjoyed everything, about being pregnant with him, where, you know, with my adoption pregnancy, it was hidden, and it was scary, and it was, you know, all these unknowns, where
mm-hmm.
Being married and having a child is, it was just a very different experience.
It is a different experience. And when you're connected, you know, I think and that's what I don't know that the people out there listening that are going to come back and listen to the show as a reference, you know, and you're a birth mother and you think, how could I have met a lot of birth mothers who have emotionally worked. Once they know they're going to make their plan, it's not that they don't love the baby that they're carrying. They love them so much, but that they are actually emotionally trying to separate so that they can get through the loss that they're going to experience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's not a bad survival skill. I think that is actually very, and it's healthy in a way. And I think that as you go through it, I mean, I think this for me, thinking about that you went through it alone, I just get goosebumps. It just breaks my heart because I think how alone, you know, how, you know, especially for a young girl that's, you know, 16 years old.
It was hard, and I mean, I've even, as an adult now, have had conversations with my best friend from high school, and she's even asked me, like, why didn't you tell me? Like, why? And that's how afraid I was.
Well, and I think that, you know, afraid of, you know, having to listen to other people's opinions.
Exactly.
You know, and what would they, and what would that do to your plan? You know, and I think also when you first find out you're pregnant, and you're that age, it's the shock of, oh my God, I'm pregnant. I can't be pregnant.
For sure.
This is not me. You know, and so getting to the point where you're actually past the, in the stages of loss, the, in, into the denial. No, I'm not pregnant. No, I'm not, you know.
Exactly.
So you're really, you know, and I think you have to, because it's not that the loss then is that the life you think the life that you have at that moment is going, it's going to ultimately be changed. You know, but, you know, looking now, I see so much positive birth mother work, and I want to encourage, if there are girls out there that, you know, are struggling by themselves, to reach out and, you know, and talk and share, reach out to the right people, reach out to the ones that aren't going to judge you and are going to give you all of your options, because you do have options.
Absolutely.
You know, and adoption is just the best option. You know, it's one of the best options next to parenting. You know, I think it's, and to me, as a social worker, birth mothers are just on the highest pedestal for me, because I think they ultimately love their child so much that they, you know, made a plan that they were able to give a family a child that nobody else, you know, at that time it was providing, or that you could provide, you know, at 16. Tell me a little bit about your your adoption. Is it a closed adoption? Is it open adoption? What type of adoption do you have?
So when the caseworker from Adoption Associates came up to the hospital to meet with us, we ultimately told them what we were looking for. And I ended up with an amazing couple who had been trying to have children for many years and were not able to. And we decided on a semi-open adoption, where I know today adoptions are much more open, but it was what we called a semi-open adoption at the time. And I was able to receive pictures and letters for the first 5 years of life. And she made me a beautiful creative memories book, and they would send me pages each year as he would grow. So, semi-open is what we've did.
And how old is your child now that you placed, your son?
Yep, he's 21.
21. And have you, I mean, is he, do you talk to him? Do you receive letters? How do you fit into his life? And
I currently do not have a place in his life. I know that he knows who I am. He knows of me and he knows my name. I did have the privilege of meeting with his parents. That was probably about 4 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago we met and just got an update on where he was at. They gave me more pictures and we just had a really amazing couple hours together and talked about different things that he's gone through. We have always agreed upon that it would be in his timing that him and I would meet.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's something that I know that I would never force or anything like that. So it's always been a kind of a God thing that, you know, in God's time it will eventually happen.
And absolutely. And 21 is still such a time of growth and youth and finding yourself. And to me, when an adoptive parent looks at their child that comes to them at birth and they have not really pushed the issue, like it's more of not a truly like everyday open relationship, and they're not seeking it out, it means they did something well because he obviously has all the pieces of who he is.
Yeah.
He's just not ready to open that door to have the actual emotional, physical, daily relationship. And
exactly.
Which is a sign of being very healthy in many ways. Now, there may be a time in his life where he looks back. It could be when he goes to get married or he finishes college or, has children of his own that he will reach out. And I think that in God's time is one of the best ways to think of that. I see, sadly enough, with my adoptive sons that they, because they came in through a totally different way, they came into the system of foster care, that I had to find their birth family. I needed to give them the pieces of their lives because they didn't have them. And so what is so wonderful about domestic adoption and doing things the best way possible is that you give children all the pieces of their lives. And so they don't hit puberty and teen years with trauma and wondering and not knowing. That we're open and honest throughout the whole experience, and it's just so much healthier. That's what I see happening with agencies like Adoption Associates, that they are about, supporting the birth mom, supporting the family, supporting the child, and doing the right thing. So tell me I really was excited to talk to you because I had read a little bit about your story, and I just felt like you had a lot to offer. I know you have a career and a family, and how do you, where does it fit? Like, do you talk about it? Obviously, you're sharing now, but do you talk to other birth mothers if you're asked to? Where does it fit? Is it someplace in the back or the forefront or?
It's a little bit of both. As a family, my husband is absolutely amazing about it. We have chose not to share this with our son just yet. We're waiting for him to be a little bit older where he can understand better the decision that mommy had to make. But I do high school talks. There are several high schools in our area where their home economics class or their parenting classes that they put the kids through where they've got the mechanical babies, they'll have somebody come in. And so I've done quite a few high school talks. Our youth group at church has had me come in very open about it and making sure that young girls understand that there is an option out there. And, it's something that it's not easy. It's with you every day, but it's something that, many, many women have had the strength to go through and survive. And it's turned out to be such a blessing in my life to be able to give back and share my story with others.
Well, I so appreciate that because you don't know who you're going to touch just by sharing that story. And what that will do for another person that's out there. I find that the world tends to be a little uneducated about adoption and what it means and what it is. you know, they always say you gave up your child instead of you chose to place your child. Simple things. The belief that you can, you know, for couples with infertility, that they would take that child and not acknowledge genetically and who they who held them and bore them for 9 months. And I do a lot of post-adoption work with families who have maybe not made the best choices in how they would work with a adoption and how they help their child. And I always say to them, okay, your child is 7. They need to know that they are adopted, you know. And that's why I'm just so supportive of this radio show and reaching out and everybody sharing their stories, because if you don't know what you don't know, what would you say is what you remember most about the entire experience? Like, what stands out to you the most, good or bad, from the time you realized you were pregnant to the time that you placed your son?
What stands out the most
in your mind?
I remember everybody who was involved, my parents, everyone at Adoption Associates were, I mean, there was just so much love and support. But I remember, I think I felt very loved, I felt very supported, but there was still that emptiness. You know, you carried that child for 9 months and then come home from the hospital and that your tummy's gone and you don't have a child. So there's that process that you have to go through. And I remember that being very hard, very hard.
I can't even imagine.
And I remember, but I also remember the joy that the adoptive parents had on their face and in their demeanor. That was like, I so know I'm doing the right thing. These people were almost angelic in my hospital room. Like, it was amazing.
They had the white halo around them as they were standing by your bed.
Right, exactly.
I understand. I'm sitting here crying because I'm just feeling, you know, watching this happen over the years, and adoption was always one of my most emotional. And I felt so honored to be just part of it in a little way and watching it happen.
Absolutely.
But to know that you have changed lives by your choice to place your son and watching their faces. I agree completely. I absolutely, I can't imagine it. Again, such strength that birth mothers have and birth parents have in making this decision. What would you like to kind of pull everything together, and we're going to wrap it up a little bit. Sorry for the little rough start there.
Oh, no, that's fine.
It must be one of those days. we're a very real show.
I think it's great. I think it's great.
what would you like? Because I definitely, and I would love to have your mom come on and talk to her a little bit too. So we'll definitely schedule that. Anything else you can think of, I'd love to know more and talk to you more. Think about it, because we're very open, and like I said, I think that people need to understand. What would you like to kind of wrap it up with and say to anyone that's listening to this?
I guess, you know, my thoughts are kind of how we talked about in the very beginning is, you know, there's always been this stigma that comes with the word adoption. It's like, oh, you gave your child away, or you know, and as you mentioned, it's a choice of love. Like, I loved my son enough to make the decision that I know he was going to have a life that he deserved. And even though I didn't plan for him to be born, he deserved to live and have a life that, you know, that he deserved, a mom and a dad that were going to love him and care for him. And, you know, if there's young women listening right now, I would just be, I would encourage them, if they haven't talked to somebody, to talk to somebody. If there's anything that I could go back and change, is I would have told somebody. And even if, you know, even if it would have just been that one person that could have walked with me, I would have told somebody. Yep, for sure. And adoption has been a blessing in my life. I love to share the loving option of adoption with others. And, you know, it's not easy. But as I mentioned, you know, the love and the joy that you receive back from it, and it's just been a complete blessing for me. And I know someday that I'll eventually meet my son and we'll be able to have a relationship, and
I'll be able to, the circle will come. You know, well, circle will come. It will come full circle, without a doubt.
Yep. Exactly.
I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story and allowing us just to listen to everything that you've been through, and how you've created an amazing life and changed other people's lives. And so thank you again. I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
And I want to thank everyone that's tuning in, whether it's recorded or live. And you can reach out to Adoption Associates at 1-800-677-2367 or www.adoptionassociates.net. Thanks again, Sue. And
everyone, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Everyone have an amazing weekend. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.